just 6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome in to the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull. And that on the other side of the bulletproof glass is Jimmy Dean. Jimmy Dog. I've been brainstorming new nicknames over the weekend. Do we like Jimmy Dean? Jimmy Dean's good. That's kind of cool. So we got Jay Dean. We got JD. We got Jimmy Dean, and I'm sure we'll have about 15 more before it's all said and done. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 880-0043. Oh, man, it was a good weekend locally. I'm digging through. We'll get to it in a moment, but digging through what we're going to do as the good, the bad, the ugly. And I got to be honest, I didn't find a lot of ugly from the weekend. We'll get to it. UNC has a huge game tonight. We're doing a doubleheader. So you got the UNC women's game and then the UNC men's game going at it tonight. So I'm very excited about that. Unique opportunity. Doesn't happen very often. But because of the way, you know, these games are moved around, shuffled around, with COVID postponements and cancellations and rescheduling and all that, it kind of worked out. So you know what? If you haven't yet, make your plans for a big, big night. Monday Madness. UNC women taking on Portland State at 5:30. And the Bears have their rematch from the weekend going up against Northern Arizona again. That game at 7:30, or at least we think. We'll have the men's game for you on KFKA later today or later tonight, so we're looking forward to that. Heard Jerry Schimmel on with NoCo now, so that was a good warm-up for what should be a very big game tonight for UNC basketball, for both teams, really. But obviously, we're the voice of the men's basketball team. And they need to get it, you know, they've had a couple of losses there down the stretch that have been rough for this team, you know, losing to Weber State. So you're the Bears and you're in this situation where you go to that Weber State game, it's at home, but you go into that Weber State game, you're playing for first place, essentially, for the time being. Well, you lose that game, you were up big at the first half, you lose that game, and then you lose your next two to Portland State. So certainly a different situation now for UNC as they're trying to kind of just keep their head above water and stay in the thick of this thing for, you know, the rest of the season so they can get that top five spot because you want that first round bye. Top five teams, you know, yeah, that's the big deal for them looking at this situation. So, yes, the goal is to win your regular season title and all of that, but you're also, it's all about seeding, and it's all about getting that all-important first-round bye, and that's what they're going to be looking at. But they've got some big ones ahead of them here. As we said, Northern Arizona tonight, which I'm expecting a win. Then you got Sac State. Now, remember, Sac State beat this team shortly after the Bears beat Southern Utah. So, trying to avenge that one. And then Southern Utah again. That was a tough game. You know, beating them on the road. So you got some big ones coming up. Weber State sitting at number one, Montana State at number two, Southern Utah at number three, Montana at four, and then UNC. So the Bears desperately need to grab this one tonight to stay right in the thick of things because the three teams that are in first through third have each only lost two games apiece. Cool thing is, though, for Southern Utah and Montana, one of those two losses for both of those teams came from the Bears. So we know what the Bears are capable of. Can they put it all together? Specifically at home. They've been good on the road and, you know, not the best at home, at least at this point. So looking to avenge home court advantage. Last time they were on inside Bank of Colorado Arena, they lost to Portland State. So they want to bounce back and win there. All right, Jadeen, what do you think, my friend? Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And the good for me was really how I started the show. Basketball was awesome for us this weekend. I'm going to go all the way back to, was it Thursday? Wyoming and Boise State. That was a hell of a game. Then Friday, you have the CSU Rams beat San Diego State. They were smoking the Aztecs for a while. But then they made it a one-point game. The Rams won by one. And it took a last-second shot pretty much by Roddy, a last-second stop as well. CSU gets the win. The UNC Bears come back and win. The CU Buffs beat Oregon State, and the Denver Nuggets went off yesterday against Brooklyn. And surprise, surprise, the league MVP, that's who he is, had another triple-double.
Jokic shoots a 15-footer, and he is officially on fire!
That's good. There's Marlo on the call. Marlo and Wingy loving it, man. They do a great job. The bad, no clip for this one, but it has something to... Listen, this is how good it was locally, J.D. I had to go reach out nationally to find some bad and ugly stories, so I'll take it. The bad is... Well, the Nets. Let's talk about the Nets. They're at a situation now where Kevin Nash is being asked this question. Kevin Nash. Steve Nash. I got WCW on the mind. Steve Nash is being asked this question. Are you going to trade James Harden? It's like, no, we're not trading him. It's not happening. But the fact that you're there, Brooklyn has just gone down the tube, man. Without Durant, this team is nothing. And obviously Kyrie Irving is playing on the road, but they're in some serious trouble. And when you're talking about trading one of your stars, clearly Harden wants out. It's a bad situation. How about the ugly? I can't help but feel bad for this guy. I know he's public enemy to a lot of you Nuggets fans. But the treatment of Russell Westbrook with the Lakers now. There's a call you have at the local. Was it the local TV guys on the Lakers call? He gets an open shot in the corner, and here's the call.
Trying to contain Malik Monk. Westbrook going about it. Brown kind of telling him no, and he missed it. Davis another rebound.
The crowd kind of telling him no. Like, as soon as the ball touches his hands, Westbrook looks up at the rim to take the shot, and the crowd starts booing and saying no in L.A., man. Ugh. That's tough. Listen, I'm not going to say I'm a fan of Westbrook, but I appreciate what he brings to the table. You know, you love to hate him. He's fun for fans. Do you think that he's just like... It's like nerve-wracking for him to play with LeBron James because he always just looks like this beaten-down puppy on the sideline standing next to LeBron, almost waiting for him to say, hey, good job, man, you're all right. I just don't think it's a good fit. Now, of course, we're blaming Russell Westbrook, and even though LeBron's the one primarily trying to get Westbrook into L.A., it's a weird situation, man. I can't help but like feel bad for him. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You guys want to chime in today, go for it. Here's our Method Flow products poll question of the day. I wanted to get your thoughts here. Do you think that we need to change the transfer portal? I don't know if I put it to you guys like that just yet. We've talked about it a lot. Do you think we need to change it, find the way it is, or do you want to go back? Like when I say change it, do you want to regulate this better? Or do you want to go back to the way it was? Go back to making a player sit out for a year if he or she chooses to transfer. So 46% of the hooligans say yes. 33% say go back to the way it was. 20%, I'm actually kind of surprised by this. 20% of the hooligans are saying, no, it's fine the way it is. Just leave it alone. Interesting. All right, 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We've got UNC basketball coach Steve Smiley joining the program in the next segment talking about a big game tonight. Love when we can catch up with Coach Smiley. You're not going to find many better than this guy. So we'll talk to him about a big game tonight, big night tonight for UNC basketball in general. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, big night for the University of Northern Colorado on both sides of the basketball spectrum. You got UNC women's going at it against Portland State at 5:30, and the men's team going at it at 7:30 against Northern Arizona. Again, this is a kind of a rare thing. Coach Steve Smiley joining us now, head coach for the UNC Bears men's basketball team. Big one tonight for your team, Coach. But again, kind of a cool opportunity to see both teams in kind of one sitting. Oh, did we lose him? Did we lose Coach? I don't have him there, Jadeen. Let's see if we can, let's try to call him again and see if we can maybe get him on the program. Coach Steve Smiley, UNC Bears head coach. Do we have now? Got him? Nothing? I don't think we have Coach Steve Smiley, so let's keep trying. They got a big one tonight going up against Northern Arizona. And that game is at 7:30 tonight. Following, again, we think it's 7:30. It's probably going to be like 8-ish or so going up against Northern Arizona. The game right before that against for the women's team, they're going up against Portland State. So excited to talk to Coach about that. You want to? Should we try it again? Do we got Coach? Coach Steve Smiley of the UNC Bears men's basketball team, are you there? Not there. All right. Maybe, JD, see if Michael can help you back there. Give him a shout, and we'll see if we can get him on the program here. But, man, again, that game against Northern Arizona on Saturday was crazy. Just back and forth. Bears are down, you know, kind of a scary situation for UNC. They're down 34-29 at the half, but they outscore the Lumberjacks 45-37. And they come back and they win this thing. Matt Johnson with pretty much a buzzer beater there. Ended the day with 17 points. Okay, so now we got Coach. Coach Steve Smiley, are you there?
You hear me, Brady?
I got you, man.
Oh, we got you. Okay.
All right, my friend. Hey, I'm looking forward to this one. Big night. Hey,
I'm like, Brady, I can hear you, man. I don't know what's going on.
It's a good thing I didn't say anything bad, right? I mean,
no, it was no.
Hey, the way I look at that.
I was answering your questions and everything. I was explaining Monday Madness, and I was like, what's I thought it was a
it's kind of like our videos that we do, Coach. I just throw up a couple things and then you just go. You don't even need me there.
No question.
Think of it this way, Coach. Let's just say that was, let's hope that that right there was the biggest turnover of the night, okay? That was the turnover.
Let's hope. Yeah.
All right, Coach, how rare is this tonight? Monday Madness at Bank of Colorado
Monday
Arena.
Madness.
Yeah, this is cool.
And that's what I was saying, that, you know, I've been here in Northern Colorado 6 years and then two more years in the league at Weber State as an assistant. So 8 years, I can't recall ever a time where we've had a Big Sky doubleheader. So it's really it's as rare as it gets. And then it's even weirder in the sense that it's not the same team we're playing, right? But this for us, this is a COVID rescheduled game against Northern Arizona. So we looked at it and say, hey, let's just put them both together and let's try to make something of this and make it a doubleheader night for the fans. So it is rare, Brady. It is definitely rare.
It's cool, too, though. Like you said, a doubleheader for the fans. Get out here. I mean, this is the time of year. Basketball season's so great all year, but February is where all the teams, you know, you're trying to hone in a little bit. You're trying to sharpen up those skills as you get closer and closer to tournament play. So tonight's going to be a really fun one for fans to get to see both teams in action.
I think so. Yeah, you know, our girls have had a nice run. They did a good job on the road and that crazy road trip swing they had, and they're moving up the conference rankings. And you know, obviously for us, we had our little dip, and like we told our guys, like, just because we won last night, let's not assume we've solved everything here. But you know, we're sitting in a good spot if we can keep playing well. That right now we're in fifth place, and you know, I mean, everyone's got two or more losses, so you know, we're well from striking distance and making a run, but we got to make it happen now.
Yeah, no question about it. These games are so important. So let's go back to that game over the weekend, Coach, against Northern Arizona. You guys are down at this point. You know, I think you were down at 10 at one point, and then you come back. It was closer at the half, but then you outscore Northern Arizona 45-37. Obviously, Dalen Kuntz. I mean, my goodness, this guy, every night, I just expect to look down and see him in the plus 20 range.
Well, yeah, so we're down 5 at half, 34-29. I'm staring at a box score, and Dalen and Matt Johnson, who's, you know, usually the definition of solid, and he played well, but they were a combined 3 for 15 from the floor, those two guys, and they were getting good shots. And, I mean, I'm talking about at the rim, we just couldn't finish. And I'm like, okay, we're down 5. Those two guys who are usually really good finishing, they just haven't finished yet. We're going to be fine. And then NAU, you know, my tweet was wrong. I said we were down 9. We were down 12 in the second half. Mm. And really, I'm just proud of the guys that we found a way to navigate through that being down. Because, you know, defensively, we've struggled recently, and I thought it was our best overall defensive effort. And even when we got down 12, you know, Jalen Cohen made some huge shots, and we just kept kind of plugging away. And then finally, we finally got some shots to fall. You know, everyone on the team started hitting some shots. We got the right stops. We caught them. We got up 6, and then that kind of led to that crazy ending.
What was it, Coach? I mean, obviously, you guys have a timeout or something in where you sit down and you go over things here. What was it that clicked for this team to make that comeback and then finish it off?
You know, I thought they just had some great resolve. I mean, they really did. You know, even going up that mountain after losing 3 in a row, you know, 2 in a row to Portland State, we're going up that mountain. I met with several guys individually and just trying to gauge the temperature of the team. Are we fragile? Are we broken? Are we good? And I felt really good about those conversations. And then, you know, that night, flew into Phoenix. We drove all the way up to Flagstaff. We went right to practice. And we didn't go long, but, you know, kind of going to those conversations, our guys were like, no, Coach, we got to go live. Like, we got to, okay, so let's do it. So we actually went live. And that was at about 7 o'clock at night with a 2 o'clock game the next day. And so the coach, like, okay, am I crazy? But I thought we had a great practice. And I just think that kind of flowed into the game, and we had great resolve. And so what changed was really nothing, you know, strategically. We kept the same plan. We did try to do a little bit more with, you know, denying Jalen Cohn, getting the ball out of his hands and making someone else beat us. That was one thing. But, you know, shots started falling. Jalen got to the rim. You know, we executed really well. Matt hit a big three. Drew hit a big three on some plays that we were running. And I just thought we did a great job to catch up to him and then find a way to finish that off.
Yeah, Matt coming up with the clutch shot. I think Matt Johnson tweeted out something like, hey, I'm channeling my inner Drew Cookshausen on that final shot.
Well, that's what's so fun about the team is, like, just, you know, staring, you know, we're all in the social media world now, but staring at, you know, Matt tasting success on a shot he'll never forget the rest of his life, but then watching all those guys retweeting him and, you know, Drew and then Coor with his, you know, the little ice faces, and just, like, you know, you watch that stuff and teammates celebrating each other's success, right? Like, that's what it's all about. And it was just fun. It was fun because, you know, we've been down some pretty low depths recently, and for the guys to experience that, I think the basketball god smiled on Matt to hit that shot, because really just a couple nights earlier he had a similar shot where, you know, whether he was fouled or not, you know, he had a chance, and it was the same spot. And so it's just really cool that Matt hit that shot and that we won the game that way.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm glad you bring that up, too, because it wasn't that long ago, about the same situation. Yeah. And, you know, I was listening to Jerry's call, and Jerry sure as heck thought there was a foul there on it. And so that was frustrating. But for Matt to be able to say, hey, you know what? I don't care about all that stuff. Erase it from my memory. Let's go. I'm still going to take those big shots. And look what happened.
Look what happened, right? So, no, that's what's fun about sports in general. You know, you can put yourself in those situations and those positions, and then when you hit that shot, it's like the old school Michael Jordan post, right, where he says, you know, I've missed a game winner, whatever, you know, 100 times. One of those deals. And Matt hit a game winner last year against Portland State. He made the game-winning free throws against Eastern Washington last year in a big game. Matt's not afraid of that moment at all. And so for him to go down there and tee that one up and chuck it up and went in, that was pretty cool.
We're talking to UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley. Big one tonight going up against Northern Arizona again. See if the Bears can take care of this team twice. Now, going back, Coach, I thought this was a big win for you guys, because before that Weber State game, we were set up, you know, okay, this is that spot to jump into first place, at least for the time being. And you and I talked about it. That first half was great. Second half was kind of the opposite, right? And then you go up against the two Portland State games, some tough situations there. So I think getting that Northern Arizona game, I'll be really curious to see if that moment when you guys make that comeback, if this is kind of that really interesting, cool turning point that you needed to kind of burst you guys into the Big Sky Conference tournament.
No, that's what we're hoping, that, you know, when you lose, you feel like you're never going to win again. And then you lose, you know, 3 in a row and you're down 12 in the second half. And I'll tell you what, like, the thing about this league is, there are no bad teams in this league. You know, I mean, everyone's records start becoming what they are. But that Northern Arizona team's a good team, the team we play tonight. You know, they got good players. They're really big, really physical. And I just think the overall depth and talent of our league this year, and I think almost every league in the country will say that, because you got all these super seniors, all these COVID guys, that stayed around for one more year. So all the leagues are really good. And it's just like you look at it, okay, you know, Idaho State had only won one game, and they just beat Montana by 23. And no one would assume that just looking at the rankings, but the league is just really good. So, yeah, I'm hoping the same thing, Brady, that's the moment where we burst through, and you know, tonight's not going to be easy, but, you know, it's the only time as a college coach you can feel like you're an NBA coach, where in the NBA the greatest adjustments are made in those seven-game playoffs, right, in those series. Well, you never get that in college, but when you play a team back-to-back, like we're doing right now, there are a few adjustments we're going to make. There's a few adjustments they're going to make, and that's kind of fun just from a coaching perspective. You know, are we on the right stuff, and can we execute those small little adjustments? So we'll see how it goes, but it's a big one tonight for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. And we'll be paying attention big time to both of these games. See if we can grab two wins in a row at Bank of Colorado Arena. I mentioned a couple of guys on this roster. There's so much fun, and as you mentioned, social media is a lot of fun to see too, because they're supporting each other. When you sit down and talk to these guys, they're just as more likely to talk about their teammates than themselves, and it's really cool. Yeah. Dalen Kuntz is one of those guys. I mean, he loves what he's doing with this Bears team. And again, I look at a coach. I look at his numbers. He seems like he's right up there when you want to talk about Big Sky Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And we're right now we are halfway through 10 games through the 20 game season. And I think right now, if you just kind of took a snapshot, I can't see any player that's played better than Dalen Kuntz. I mean, there's been some really good performances. The key to, you know, winning player of the year is you got to have team success too, right? Like, we got to make a run here. We got to burst into that. You know, we're sitting good right now. We're in that fifth spot, and we're just, you know, a couple plays here and there for really, you know, getting this thing going. Again, no one's going to run the table, I don't think, in the second half. So if we can get hot and play well, you know, we can be in that conversation as a team. And the more team success you have, the more individual success too. But when you just talk about a player like Dalen's been not just great, but consistently great. I mean, you know, he every night, and you look at that first half, you know, he didn't finish as well as he usually does. But, man, that second half, I think he had 20 points, and he was just on a whole different level, which was really fun to watch. We needed it in the worst way.
I liked your tweet, too, about another player. And, I could go through every single one of these guys, and we could talk about him forever. But I like what you had to say about Drew Cookshausen, because when you watch him play,
Yes,
you're right. If you're just, you know, a casual fan watching this team once in a while, oh, it's a sharpshooter. That's what he does. Yep. He's just going to shoot. But he is very sound with the basketball. He does do all the little things the right way, even where he's supposed to be on the floor offensively and defensively.
Yeah, he is. He loves to hoop, man. And he not just shoot, but he loves to hoop. And he loves to compete. I mean, one of the greatest skills he has is he is competitive. Now, you know, sometimes great strength, greatest weakness, man, he can compete too much. But like I told him, we were talking about on the bus up to Flagstaff, I said, look, man, like, you know, he got in that Portland State game where everything went crazy, and they got like three or four tees, and he got a tee with the guy. And you go back and watch the film, it's like, you know, it was crazy what the other guy did to him to you know, set Drew on fire. But I told him, I said, Drew, like, your greatest strength, the fact that you're a guy that's you know, now scored 1,000 Division I points and really is a two-guard that's, you know, I don't know, 5'10 or whatever, you got to be nasty. Like, if you're not nasty, you're just not going to make it. So you have to be nasty. And that's what I love about the kid is that he is just – it matters to him, man. It's winning, losing, this, that. Start, come off the bench, whatever. Like, it matters. He wants to compete. He wants to win. And those kids are just so much fun to coach. So he's a great shooter and all that, but it's a lot more than that.
Let's talk about one more player individually, Coach, and that's Bodie Hume. We've seen Bodie. We've seen those games where he can go off and he can get 30 points. I mean, we've seen those games. Heck, in the tournament last year, he was doing that.
Sure.
But then you'll see those games, too, where maybe he gets in foul trouble early, maybe gets inside his own head a little bit, and then kind of just slows down. How do you kind of view Bodie at this situation? Amazing guy, an amazing talent. But I know you're looking at saying, how do we get the best out of this guy? Because that's, you know, when Bodie is in those high 20s or whatever, when he's really producing, and I know it's not always about stats, but when he's producing, you guys are so hard to beat because you know Dalen's going to do his thing and Johnson and Drew, but when you can get Bodie in that situation, you guys are so tough to beat.
No, yeah, absolutely, no question about it. You know, he has the 30-point game at CSU or right there to win when they were undefeated, and then, you know, at Southern Utah, he had 25, and that's a great, like, example. Okay, he got to 25, and we weren't losing that game. I mean, We and those guys are really good. They've only lost one other game in the league, and we not only beat them, we beat them pretty soundly. I think that's the excitement of when we're clicking on all cylinders. And the crazy thing too, Brady, is like, you know, of our top five, six guys that can all really score the ball, we've never had yet this year where five of those six guys or six of those six guys are all clicking. It's always been two or three, and that's probably, you know, normal, but we can get to a really high level, is I guess what I'm trying to say. But with Bodie, you know, it's so much about right now, because you don't want him to get inside his own head. You want him to shoot with confidence. He's getting great looks. He made a couple threes against NAU. He missed some pretty great looks. And you don't want him to overthink it. And it's like, hey, just keep concentrating on the winning plays, you know, in terms of being elite defensively. You know, the block he had on Keith Heyman, which was unbelievable in that game. Just keep focusing on that. Stay aggressive, okay, offensively, because we need you. When you're open, you need to shoot it, and you need to be aggressive in this and that. And I thought, you know, a good example of that was the second Portland State game at our place, where I think he had like 20. I thought he was really aggressive. So, yeah, I think with Bodie, it's just a matter of like, hey, stay aggressive. But we don't just value you because you can score a basketball. That's the biggest thing. Yes, we do need you to score. If we're going to win this thing and this and that and play at the highest level, we absolutely need Bodie to score 15, 20, 22 points because he can do it. But on any given night, if those shots aren't rocking and rolling, like, you got to still – it's winning plays. And he's embraced that to such a high level. I'm really proud of him. But, you know, hopefully he gets on one of those heaters like he's been known to do and gets it rolling right away where he's giving us, you know, multiple 20-plus point games in a row. That would really help the cause. But I think he's playing great. He's just – couple shots are going in, a couple shots aren't.
Well, and I think that's a great point, too, on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, he has that shot-blocking ability. The athleticism is just out of this world with him. I mean, he makes it – it's so effortless when he's jumping up and down, blocking shots and getting boards.
Well, and we're a team that, you know, defensively, you know, and it's crazy. If people really knew how much time we spent on our defense as opposed to our offense, they would be shocked in the sense that we're not very good defensively, and we got to get better at it. But – so we're continually fighting that fight. But we struggle to guard the ball one-on-one at multiple positions. And so if you don't have a guy like Bodie that's willing to roam around and make that block at the rim when we get beat, we have nothing, right? And so I just think that he's even though we've struggled as a team defensively, he is, whatever the word is, kind of masked some of our deficiencies by being willing and having a great timing and feel to make those plays. So he's been huge on that side of the ball.
I'm so excited to see this program continue to grow throughout the year. And I'm going to put, you know, if I were a betting man, Coach, I was thinking it's all going to come together for you guys down the stretch. As you said, there's still several games to go, several tests to go, too. I know the Montanas are down the road. I know Weber State's down the road, Southern Utah still. Certainly a lot of battles coming up. So I'm here for it. I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate it, Brady, as always.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you soon. Good luck tonight, okay?
Okay, thanks, Brady.
All right, there's Steve Smiley. Big one tonight. Monday Madness. The UNC women's team going at 5:30 against Portland State. The UNC Bears team going up against Northern Arizona at 7:30. I'm gonna say, speaking of being a betting man, that's not starting at 7:30, so I'm guessing we'll be in the 8 o'clock range or something. All right, 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Got to shout out to the GOAT, man. They're located in Center Place of Greeley. The GOAT Sports Bar is Greeley's newest local sports bar. They're just coming up on a year, man. They had a year anniversary celebration over the weekend. I know we're going to have some fun out there. The Monday after Selection Sunday, we're going to ask Culligans to – we're asking people to get in our bracket challenge. In fact, I think we're going to do that. We're going to do that next, Jadeen, so just be ready. And if you're – once you're in, here's what I want you to do. I want you to print your bracket. You're filling it out through CBS Sports. That's where we do it. You print out your bracket, bring it to the GOAT, and it's going to be good to, like, hook you up. We're bringing out a wheel, so you spin this wheel, and there's going to be prizes on it, all this other cool stuff. We want you to come out and hang out with us, talk some basketball as we look at the brackets and such. So we want you to print your bracket off and bring it out. We're doing a special edition of the whole show. It'll be like a Monday night type deal. So probably right after the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary, we'll be out there like 5 to 6 or something. So in that hour, you know, get off work, come out. bring your bracket by, show us proof that you're in it, and you can you'll get a spin the wheel of destiny. You might be a $25 gift card to the GOAT. It might be some swag, might be some Nuggets tickets, it might be some other things. We're gonna try to get to, we're trying to load that up. It'll be fun. Here's the kicker. Here's the big deal. All right, this is, you got to register for this, and we're gonna take your emails down. So Jay Dean's gonna collect all of your emails. We've sent out the invites through CBS Sports. The winner of this year's bracket challenge, courtesy of PDC Energy, is going to get $500. $500 prize if you win the bracket challenge. Now, again, I compete in it. JD will probably compete in it. Unfortunately, we can't win it. So even if I win, which I will, I won't get the money. It'll be whoever comes in second place. So do you guys want to be in? There's no entry fee or anything like that. Our goal is to fill this up with as many hooligans as we possibly can, and the winning bracket gets $500. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl could use that. 500 big ones, courtesy of PDC Energy. So, shall we register someone, Jadine? I'm going to go, what number would you like? Caller number what would you like? Caller number two. Caller number two on the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Caller number two. You're going to be in our bracket challenge. I just need an email address, and we do it through CBS Sports, and you're going to have a chance to fill out the winning bracket, and you're going to have an opportunity to win $500 courtesy of PDC Energy. So 46 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's look at the Senior Bowl. Trey McBride did something that he didn't do a lot in the regular season. He got a touchdown, so we'll take a short break. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Time to play the game. Join The Whole Show Bracket Challenge. Winner gets $500 cold hard cash. Keep listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-one minutes after the hour, welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. No Limit Collectibles is a sponsor of this program, and we love these guys. You can buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. Sports memorabilia. We were at the Friends of Baseball event not long ago, and it got a lot of people kind of in that mode where you're bidding on it, you're buying it. Maybe you didn't win, things like that. There's amazing sports memorabilia for your man cave, for your office, for your room, for your basement, wherever. They got it there. If you're a card collector, maybe your family's a card collector, you have someone in your life that's a card collector, that's always a great gift. And man, Ken Yamada, he gets his hands on some amazing merchandise, amazing stuff over at No Limit Collectibles. And they're now in Greeley. They're in the same area now as Cables Pub and Grill, so check them out. It's a great place to go. That whole shopping center is fantastic now. So shout out to No Limit Collectibles for all that they do. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. The Senior Bowl, I was kind of interested in it this week. Couple of things stood out. How about Trey McBride got a touchdown in the red zone? It can happen. Steve Adazio would like to lead you to believe that it is a little more complicated than just throwing it to one of the greatest tight ends we've ever seen in college football. But it turns out it's as simple as just throwing him the ball, giving him some space, and then let him go to work.
Now Watson and Ferguson to that side, and Ritter rolls to the right and throws. And he has a touchdown to Trey McBride. The Mackey Award winner from Colorado State is in the end zone.
There you go. Desmond Ritter gives it to Trey McBride. And, you know, the numbers aren't going to blow anybody out the water. They don't play a whole lot, and no particular person plays a whole lot. Trey McBride, though, ended the day with two receptions, 12 yards, and again, the touchdown on the day. So in the red zone. Yeah. How many times did they ask Coach Adazio, you know, when he was going to, why he couldn't be able to get Trey McBride in the end zone when they're in the red zone, especially? And, well, it's just football newbies and idiots. We had no clue. Oh, but apparently you can do it. You got one. All right. Malik Willis is the name you keep hearing about for the Broncos in connection, possibly at number nine. He didn't blow anybody out of the water with his throwing over the weekend, but really, again, nobody did. He threw it four times for 11 yards, but he ran for 54 yards. This guy can move. So Malik Willis is the name Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos brought up. This is the name to look out for. You know, played for Liberty. What kind of player will he transition into? Is he more of a project? I think it's safe to say all of these quarterbacks that are going into the draft are going to be more of a project. But is that almost kind of in a roundabout way a good thing? Because how many years do we have quarterback after quarterback and we think, okay, this is the class. There's going to be like five studs out of this deal. Maybe it's the reverse effect. Maybe of the four or five quarterbacks that are supposed to go in the first round this year, maybe only one of them is successful. Because it's kind of been the opposite of that, where there's at least two or three. If it's four guys, maybe two or three, two guys are good. If it's five guys, you know, two or three or something along those lines. Maybe a guy like Malik Willis would be interesting. 6'1", 215 pounds. I'd be curious to see if the Broncos really do pull the trigger on the quarterback. I'm very interested in this draft. I still think the Trey McBride thing is not that far out of the question. Now, I know that the Broncos have their Nathaniel Hackett is getting that offensive side of the ball taken care of. He got Butch Berry for the O-line, so that means that you moved on from Mike Munchak, which, whatever. I mean, that did seem like Munchak was really helping out with Garrett Bowles, but I'd be lying to you if I said, hey, they did take a step back. The offensive line took a step back after the last couple of years they've been growing, and Garrett Bowles obviously had a great year 2 years ago. He took a step back. So maybe he learned all he needed to learn from Munchak, and now we can move on with Butch Berry. Clint Kubiak, because that was big news. He's the quarterback's coach, so obviously with the Kubiak name, strong connection with the Broncos. Justin Outen will be taken over as the offensive coordinator. He was the tight ends coach for the Packers, so that's a big name to throw out there. He was position coach last year with the Packers, so will he be able to help a guy like Noah Fant really grow? You know, because his is going to be more specialty stuff, because Nathaniel Hackett is an offensive-minded guy, so he's going to be the guy in charge of the offense. Is Outen going to be more of that? A lot of times you see that in the NFL, right, where if the offensive coordinator turn head coach, well, then their offensive coordinator is going to be more of a specialty guy. You know, really works closely with positions and really trying to help them out and grow in those individual positions, while Hackett's probably going to be doing more of the scheming, more of the play calling. So it's going to be interesting. I still think the tight end situation is worth looking into. Is Trey McBride a guy that could make sense with the Broncos? I mean, he makes sense with anybody. He's one of those tight ends that would work. Do you see the Broncos in a situation where they trade back and they go late in the first round and they acquire another second round pick and then maybe, again, I think it's far-fetched, but I wouldn't hate it. I don't know that you're wanting to spend a number nine pick on a quarterback this draft. Do you just spend that pick on trying to build up an inside linebacker, offensive lineman for sure, an edge rusher is something of need as well. Not sure they're going to go the quarterback route. We'll find out. Second hour coming up next. It's the whole show.